Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
I'm going to put that question before you again that I did for the kids. What is it that you would like most in life? And then once you figured that out and said, that's what I want most in life, is there anything that stands in the way of you getting that? Probably there is. So today I want to introduce you to the one who gives the plan for the abundant life, who calls you into action to experience it so that you can have the greatest possible life now and forever. Now, that's a big promise. Okay, so see if you can hold me to it. And I want to be able to accomplish that today, but we're going to need a little help. But let's put it in other terms. Now, we just read together John chapter 10 about the good shepherd and having a life and having it abundantly. Who wouldn't want that? But there is introduced then what stands in the way. Jesus identifies them as a thief who comes to do this, steal, kill, destroy. But along comes Jesus, but says, I've come. And that's a contrast. He's the good shepherd. And then not only that, he says he's the door of the sheep. He is the entryway into that abundant life. And so you want more out of life? We're going to see what has Jesus put into it. And how do you personally access all that Jesus has put into that abundant life for you? So we need some help. So let's pray. Everybody's part of this. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, send us your Holy Spirit to bring to life, to bring alive the reality of a good shepherd, the good shepherd for our life. And Lord, help us today not only to understand with our minds, but then actually with our faith to experience what that abundance is. Because Lord, it just comes down to abundance is really having you. So Lord, and you will never turn anyone away who comes to you and desires more of you, because that is your will, and that is the passion of your heart. We pray this, Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, in your wonderful, powerful, beautiful name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, that's what we want. But, okay, let's go back to the question, the big question, what do you want most in life? And a second question goes with that, and that is, do you think that most people that you know are experiencing what it is that they want to have most in life? Now, the problem here, okay, we got that thief, steal, kill, destroy. The problem, okay, let's introduce the problem, and that is people so often don't even get to step number one, which is identifying and defining what it is that they really want in life. And then here's another part of that. What they want is not always what they really need, and they bypass the need. Hence, they don't really experience that abundant life. And a lot of people do not have the courage to face the fact that their lives are empty, sterile, devoid of meaning. Now, every great university does a lot of social research. You know, you got to get a master's degree and this and that, whatever, and then PhD so you can get hired by some consulting company and make the big bucks and, you know, and then write up this stuff in journals and report it in the newspapers, and you'll see it on CNN and so forth. Well, so I was interested in what kind of research is there about people experiencing what it is that they want. And do they get what they want in life? So one study that I referred to went this way, that when asked what they want, people say they don't know because we have not given it very much thought. And then after a bit of time, if pressed, they'll answer the question of what they want with something general, superficial, like love, money, happiness, you know, like, well, I just want to be happy. Oh, well, what do you want for your kids? I just want them to be happy. But what in the world is that? You know, do you really want Is that all you want in life? Is that all you want for your kids? Well, maybe if pressed a little bit further, you say, oh, I got it. I want world peace. I want everybody to get along in the world. Okay, that's a noble kind of a thought. And then if you really get down to practical of what really people are asking for, what they really want is, I don't want my cell phone to drop any more calls, and I want still have a fresh battery by the end of the day after I've been, you know, done playing with it all day long. Well, you see, what is it that keeps people from getting more out of life? That's problem number one. They really don't have clarity about that. But there's a problem number two. We're going to call that EV, or escape velocity. You know, there's a certain amount of thrust that is required to get a spaceship out into orbit. Now, think about recently, you know, Jeff Bezos and his trip into outer space, and pretty soon it's going to be available for average folks like you and me, you know, just spend your allowance, take a trip out to space, outer space. But you know what it takes to escape that pull of gravity, the escape velocity. It requires 7.2 million pounds of thrust to get past the gravitational pull and apply that into our lives. Okay, there's our gravitational pull that holds us down. Do we have enough escape velocity on our own to get into what we'd call an abundant life? Finally, a full, satisfying, rich kind of life in which we feel, okay, I am really where I need to be. And you know, you're never where you need to be unless you are with God. But a lot of people, they just basically abandon any hope of doing that, say, life really is bad anyway. I'm just going to try to get by, survive. I hope if only everybody else would behave the way they're supposed to, then I'd maybe be happy. But we settle for being victims of all this terrible stuff. That gravity really never wants to go away. Is that all that we're willing to settle for? Or is there more? Is there more? What did Jesus mean, I mean, personally, for people like us, when he said, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly? Who are the they? His sheep. Who are we? Well, if I can say the Lord is my shepherd, I'm one of those, okay? He wants to give life abundant. But there is a lack of thinking beyond the superficial. No real goals other than short-term and superficially self-focused, and afraid to ask for more because so many people, so many of us, most of the time kind of have that sense of, well, we don't deserve it anyway. We're really, really kind of, you know, not part of a group of people that should expect a lot in life. And then we tend to think about what it is that I can get. Abundance would be if I get some more, as opposed to contributing and giving away more of self. So there are forces, these gravitational forces, both on the inside and on the outside, that keep us from experiencing the abundant life and sharing in God's great, his gracious generosity. And it all boils down to a tiny little word that has three letters, and it starts with S and ends with N, right? And that's sin, because there's I in the middle of that word. You ever think of that? Okay, so Jesus calls these forces the thief. And what does the thief do? Steal, kill, destroy. Wants to steal your hope, kill your vision, destroy your future, and rob you of meaningful existence moment by moment. The thief. What does the thief do? Well, the thief is pretty sneaky, and he induced us, and I say us, I'm talking about all of humanity, beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden. By the way, Adam and Eve, they were the happiest people in the happiest place on earth, but they got tricked into it. You know, that's the way that the promise of more, let's say, earthly, worldly, material abundance, greater popularity, greater power, greater position. That is always a sneaky way of getting our minds and our hearts off of the Lord. So he induced Adam and Eve to go that way, and then they surrendered their birthright. They were robbed. And so we then get conditioned by a culture. It's all around us to believe that we are in this world merely for our own selfish desires and drives. And all kind of boils down to, well, I just want to be happy. Well, good luck on that. You know why? Because the more you focus on that, the more you try to go after that, the faster it goes away from you, and you're just not getting there. Am I right? You have experienced that? Isn't that kind of how it goes? Yeah, an expectation of what's going to make me happy, I get it. Oh, it's great for a few hours, you know, and then not much left. So everything boiled down to just want to be happy. And so people will do like Adam did, discard God's direction. And then Adam suddenly found himself, who was the richest man on earth, found himself in poverty. He was desperately unhappy, not having the abundant life for which God had created him to begin with. And God had designated a place for him to be in that, you know, lovely kind of a life. Now despairing in the result that passes down through centuries, generation after generation, you know, turned out that my kids were just as sinful as me, and then grandkids just as sinful. No, they're perfect. Okay, but here we are, people living in despair, discontent, discouragement, where there are broken hearts, broken minds, broken lives, broken homes, broken bodies, and a broken society. You know, you hear on the news, the commentator, Congress is broken. Well, of course. What isn't? What isn't broken in this sinful world? It's really pretty much of a mess. So, does God have a better plan? But let's talk about one other thing that gets to be pretty subtle in this whole thing, in this equation, and that is people always being tempted to ignore God, and to put anything else in front of God. Now, if you've ever heard Pastor Dreyer lead us through confession on the Ten Commandments, and when he gets to the first commandment, he always says, have you ever put anything ahead of God? You know, and there I sit and said, yes, I have. I've messed up on number one, so probably I've screwed up the other nine as well. And this is when people do not recognize the shepherd's voice, heed that voice, follow that voice, but basically ignore the voice. And that's a problem. The problem is this, that anytime anyone steps away from God, they're out of tune with reality. Huh? Out of tune with reality. Yeah, you see, because God is reality. The only reality, the ultimate reality. When you're out of tune with God, you're out of step, you're out of phase with the whole universe. It's just not going to work. And there's disaster. And there isn't anything. There isn't any ideology, any passion, any pursuit that can compare with God himself. And when we give our allegiance to anything other than God, we're impoverished, we demean ourselves, we do not have the abundant life. And as Henry David Thoreau said, that most men live lives of quiet desperation. I'm going to refer to Connie for the exact quotation, but that's the gist of it. But let me quote somebody else out of the past, St. Augustine, who said, you have made us for yourself. Get that? Why did God make us? It's for himself. You see, and when we are in connection, in tune with God, we're in connection with reality. When we are not, we're out of phase with reality. The gravitational pull is so strong that we cannot escape that. That escape force is not sufficient. And then he went on, St. Augustine said, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Now, the human tendency, turn away. Let's get it back into that sheep metaphor. Like Isaiah writes, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But in a minute, I'm going to get to what it means that he laid on him the iniquity of us all. But folks, we've been stolen blind in this whole thing. And that is basically where our culture is at, the pathetic plight of people not choosing the best. And at the best, they would only choose second best, which is already disaster. So the door, let's go to the door. Jesus is the door, and he is the door to abundant living. Okay, so we see there's something that people desire. They're not sure what. Something is in the way that prevents them from getting there. But now someone comes along with the plan, the plan. That's Jesus, the good shepherd. He came, and look at what, follow the story of the Gospels, which we're going to do really intensely when we get to the walk through the New Testament. You are going to be so excited that you went to that. Come all the way from Houston. Join us and be part of that. Yeah. Okay. So what Jesus did, his ministry. Last week, Pastor Dreyer talked about how he healed a blind man. There was a transformation of his life. What about the lepers? What about the deaf people? What about a dead man? Life transformed by Jesus. And so Jesus is always inviting people into a new dimension. There's a doorway, the portal of passage, and he identifies what that is as, I am the gate. I am the door for the sheep. I am the portal of passage, the gateway into, here we are, abundant life. That's our goal today. Experiencing, you know, appropriating from him the abundant life. Let's go to what the actual words of Jesus. Forget my words. Go to his. John 10, verse 7. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. I want to take you a little bit further back beyond that, maybe about 1,400 years before Jesus ever said that. And there was a door that was really important for the people of Israel. And they celebrated that door every Passover because, you see, that night, the firstborn in all of Egypt were to be put to death, the angel of death. But when you see a doorway that had blood on it, almost painted like two crosses on that door, oh, doesn't that kick something off in your mind? Because that's the blood of the Lamb who was sacrificed for the Passover. Now, Paul identifies him, he says, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. When they would see, the angel of death, see the blood, it would pass over, and they would be safe inside. But this takes us one step further. In the New Testament, it's the blood of the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, that his blood, and on the door, and he is the door. Through him, we have now access into the presence of God. Let's talk about that sheepfold that was out there, out in the country, in the pasture land, and built of stones, high enough so that the sheep couldn't get out, not a real high one, though. And there was an opening, and when the sheep would all come in, how would you close the door? The gate is just open. Well, here's what the shepherd would do. That is, the good shepherd, the real shepherd, the one who gives abundant life, keeps those who are in the sheepfold safe and fulfilled and whole and contented and fed, all right? He actually lies down in that opening, and he's the door of the sheep. Have you ever pictured Jesus that way? He is your door. He is your passageway into that security, into that place of where you know you are safe, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The passageway. Now, let's look at that from another standpoint because we need to know. So how do I get in there? How do I get in there? I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5 and two verses there, the first two verses of that chapter. And as you look at it on the screen, we're going to see the portal, the passageway. Since we have been justified by, okay, what's the instrumentality? What's the next word? Faith. Oh, faith, trust. Transfer trust from self onto the shepherd. Okay, what do we have? We've got a part of that abundance, peace with God. That's a component of the abundant life. Okay, through him. Oh, yeah, he's that gate. He's that door. Through him, we have obtained access. Access granted. Access granted. You don't have to have a secret code. You just need to know the name of Jesus. And then you are granted access. Again, the instrumentality, by means of faith, which is simply trust in him, not in yourself, and to that grace, which is God's abundant giving that we don't deserve, in which we now stand, and more of the abundance. We rejoice. Joy. Joy is a part of that abundant life. And hope, ultimately the glory of God. Wow, didn't he pack a lot into that verse? I guess that St. Paul must have known that shepherd. Now, so what does that translate into your life, into my life? What can you take with you as a permanent gift and possession that comes by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? It comes like this. First of all, I am justified. Justified, that's aligned up correctly with God. I am forgiven my failures and my sins. I am accepted into the family of God. Every time we do a baptism here, everybody stands up and applauds because, you know, the family has grown. Someone has been accepted and then set free from slavery to sin and self, and then raised up from the dead, raised from the dead because we were dead in transgressions and sins. And then we are renewed, we become a new creation, a new identity, and brought back to what it is that God created us for. Another thing, regenerated, which means born again, and then given immediate access to the throne of God through Jesus Christ in our prayers. You know, what more could you ask for? Jesus is the door into that, entryway into that new life, to be a new creation. It's an abundant life, life to the max, more than what we tend to ask for. You know that God has more for you than you've even asked him? Well, I guess there is more. It is a life of relationship. Relationship, yeah, sheep and shepherd, sheep and shepherd. Oh, a beautiful love relationship. It says, that's a relationship I'm setting up with you. The assurance that I am with you. I'm never going to abandon you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Jesus said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Because in his presence, okay, think back how we do the final benediction. In his presence is the fullness of joy. In his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And it takes us above the struggles and the conflicts of life. And like sheep who have a good shepherd, he brings us to green and pleasant pastures. His word, his sacrament, places of feeding. And he doesn't say, well, I hope we get some today. No, he will not send you away hungry and empty. He's always going to show up. And we don't always show up, even when we're here sometimes. I've been here, sitting here, and I didn't show up, okay? And I went home kind of hungry. Whose fault was that? Yeah, you're looking right at him. Okay, now we're going to make a contrast between this good shepherd, what he gives, and the thief who came only to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus gave his life, and the robber takes life. You know, sheep, they can stray so easily. You ever get distracted? You're trying to focus on something and you get distracted? So here you are sitting in church, okay, and are focusing. And then all of a sudden, oh, I remember, I got to reach for my phone, and I got to, you know. So I get that information in there. Oh, yeah, my shopping list, I'm quite, and then I got to remember. And so pretty soon, we're distracted, not by evil things, by good things, but we've chosen that rather than the best and the better. Get distracted. Yeah, influences come along like temptations to idleness and leisure, just being casual, irresponsible, careless, going after affluence as our major influence, going for the luxuries. Oh, the world is so much with us, and we confuse abundance with having stuff. Or maybe achieving certain worldly kinds of satisfactions. These can lead us into a relationship of lukewarmness with our shepherd. Now, try out lukewarmness in your friendships. Try out lukewarmness in your marriage. Folks, I've tried it. It doesn't work real well, okay? Take my word for it. So don't even go there. Be passionate about it, because you see, that's where our Lord wants us to be. Now, the final point is this. I'm going to answer the question. So then, what is abundance? It is having the life of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory, writes St. Paul. Vine and branches, says Jesus a couple chapters later. I'm the vine, you are the branches. I and you, you and me. And so the shepherd's life is always being invested into his sheep. And the well-being of the sheep will correspond very closely to what is the investment that the shepherd makes in the sheep. Think of the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. That's a pretty big investment, I would say, huh? One perfect life from my lousy, messed up life? Yeah, he did that. Wow, one life for me. But the shepherd out there in the field will use all the strength of his body, of his thought, of his time, of his energy, enthusiasm of spirit, emotion and drive, all of it directed to the well-being of the flock. The condition of the sheep corresponds to the investment that the shepherd makes. How much of the shepherd is in the sheep? Jesus is the good shepherd. I want to be in you. My whole life, I want to be in you. How much of that life would you be willing to take in faith and receive into you? An abundant life, an abundance in spirit, mind, emotion, relationship, and it will spill out into every area of your life. That trickle-down effect. You get the big thing, and then what happens? Finally, your cup overflows. Or Jesus talked about the Spirit that is poured out, that from you would flow rivers of living water. Now, I can tell you this. I've been around people a long time, and I've been around people in the worst times of their life. And I've been different places around the world. And I can tell you something. Some of the least affluent people in the world, virtually nothing, can be some of the happiest people, most carefree, most joyful, most grateful people in all of the world. And I've been in people at the time they're nearing death, and there's pain. And his doctor said, this is terminal. The family is all brokenhearted. And yet, their little time they have left on earth is like they're living in heaven already. What's the difference? The shepherd is in the sheep. The shepherd is in the sheep. Now, the shepherd says, I want to be there for you. So as a matter of fact, I'm the gate into the abundant life. Oh, there are a lot of doors out there, aren't there? You know, doors of pleasure, doors of success, doors of this and that and that. You know, you just look at them all. Oh, it's just really hard to select. But there's one door that's marked with blood. And it's labeled. It's got a cross on it. That's the door to the abundant life. That's Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's the door. And every day, whether you think you're doing it or not, you're choosing what door. I mean this. We all do that, don't we? I've chosen some wrong doors. What did that get me? Nothing good. Choose every day. This is an everyday occurrence. Martin Luther talks about it as daily repentance, where the old person is drowned and dies, the new person rises and comes forth. It's like walking wet in your baptism all day long. Wow, what an incredibly important thing. Walk through the door that is marked Jesus, the door marked with the blood. Seek first the kingdom of God, said Jesus. Do you think he just said that to be saying something? Seek first the kingdom of God, he said. And everything else will take care of itself. It'll be added to you. Don't worry. Just trust.